Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I would like, first of all, to welcome the Chairman of the Senate of Australia to Portugal. I also would like to welcome Mrs. Ambassador and say that it is an honor for us to be here, and hope that you find your trip to Portugal, and I believe to other European countries, useful. And I'm sure that is going to happen. Yeah, Mr. Chairman, you asked us to comment a little bit on the bailout program that Portugal is under since May 2011. That's when it was signed. Since then, many things changed. I would say that on the three areas of the adjustment, fiscal consolidation, structural reforms, and financial stabilization, there are two that are, well, on track and as planned. As a matter of fact, they are at a different speed, at a higher speed than it was planned. That's namely the that's what happened with the deleverage of the country as a whole, because in 2012 we had for the first time in decades a surplus in the current account balance. That was due to a strong performance of exports, even though in the final quarter of 2012 a remarkable slowdown has been recorded due to the slowdown in Europe, but also due to fall deeper than anticipated of domestic demand, private consumption, investment, and even public consumption. So this, I will go to the structural reforms and fiscal consolidation in a few moments, but this has, of course, affected unemployment, and unemployment has risen much more than it was anticipated in the original version of the MOU. This has, of course, impacted fiscal consolidation, with the targets for the budget deficit and the path for public debt. It has already been, they have already been revised, they were flexibilized. Not because the government is not implementing what was agreed with the Troika, but because the recession is deeper than it was anticipated, so it has impacted both on tax collection and on social support. And now we, those were the targets, the fiscal targets for 2012 and 13 were revised, 2012, 2013, and 2014 were revised upwards. And with the economy going worse than it was planned, we don't know if these thresholds, if these targets are going to be revised or not again. I repeat, not because the government is not doing everything that was planned, but because the recession cannot be ignored and cannot be avoided. It is real. And even with signals that are coming from unemployment, which is now close to 17% of the active population, and it is at a really record level. And that worries us very, very much. Yes?
Can I just ask a question there?
Yes, of course.
I think I heard somewhere where you've got a real problem in terms of youth unemployment. Is that correct?
Yes. I would say that it's almost, I would say that the is about 40%, yes, 40%. Not as large as in Spain or Greece, fortunately, but nevertheless very, very, very high. Of course, there are, overall, the society there, and especially in the opposition parties, there have been recent doubts about the speed of the adjustment, and of course that those issues will have to be on the table when the Troika arrives in Portugal in one week for the seventh quarterly review. Up to now, all reviews have been positive, fortunately, and Portugal is seen as being in the same set as Ireland and decoupling from the unfortunate case of Greece. And that's why Portugal is also preparing the return to financial markets, which is a very important step. The first step was already undertaken at the end of January, together with Ireland. We think that with the two or three more steps, we could be eligible to be under the umbrella, under the protection of the ECB, so to get full access to markets in some months to come. I would like also to emphasize that in the structural reforms, there have been important changes in some areas, and some changes are projected to happen in other areas. I would enlighten the labor market, the rental market, the judicial system, and the corporate income tax reform, which is now is being prepared. We hope that this, among other reforms, we hope that these structural reforms that are designed in order to boost the country's competitiveness will begin to produce some positive results in terms of growth by 2014, because these are changes that, in our view, should have been made a long time ago, namely when Portugal joined the euro in 1999 and in the years that followed. Unfortunately, they weren't, and now we are doing this painful adjustment and these changes in the economy in a recessive environment, which, of course, is much more difficult. So we hope that in 2014, positive growth can resume. But of course, that doesn't depend only on ourselves. It depends on the behavior of the economy, and also, and not less important, on the answer of the European economy. Even though Portuguese companies have been exporting more and more to countries outside Europe, but we must bear in mind that it's still more than 70% of Portuguese exports go to the European Union. We have been exporting more and more to China, to Brazil, to Angola, to Mozambique, and other fast-growing countries outside Europe. But as I mentioned, a very high proportion of Portuguese exports still go to Europe, and that's the natural. That's absolutely natural. So up to now, all the reviews from the Troika have been positive, but I think that it will not come out as a surprise if the program is to suffer more adjustments, because it has already suffered some adjustments in previous reviews, but now we are in a phase where the economic results, unemployment is really high and much higher than projected, and the recession has also been deeper than anticipated. So we think that from the contacts between the government and the Troika, and together with the social partners and here in Parliament, there might be conditions might be created for a fruitful dialogue between all parties, so that the bailout program, which I'm pretty sure we all wish is successful, can be adapted to more tough conditions that are being felt in the economy and also in the outside world, because Portugal is not alone in the world. We are a small open economy, and so we are of course subject to the changes that happen in the environment. I would say these are the strong guidelines from the Social Democratic Party. We think that we are eager to see that the seventh annual review, what the seventh annual review will produce. We think that with the commitment of the government and with the efforts of the Portuguese population in general, we think that the review has everything to have a positive outcome again, but we think that some adjustments need to be made to the overall program. That's all. Thank you.
Well, I think the main disagreement between the socialists and two right-wing parties that are currently in government, it's we fundamentally disagree on the interpretation of the nature of the crisis. The right-wing parties, along with the Troika, they have an understanding of the current crisis as a crisis of behavior and of individual countries. So they interpret the problems of Spain, of Portugal, of Ireland, of Greece, of whatever country happens to be in a difficult situation as a problem of that particular country due to bad policy choices, incapacity to adapt to the stringent necessities of the euro or whatever. Well, the socialists have a completely different understanding of the nature of the crisis. The crisis, the causes of the crisis are due to a flawed monetary architecture of the European Union. That flawed architecture was one of the main causes of the crisis and is now one of the main causes of the impossibility to solve and leave behind the crisis that we're into. So, in summary...
Could you just answer one question?
Yes.
Is that because all the EU partners are not part of the Eurozone? Is that...
No. I think the main issue was... Well, the official narrative of this crisis is we have a crisis of competitiveness and public finance. And, well, if we look at the data, since the euro was created, and actually some years before when all the steps were taken to have in place the European currency, the main change was not public expenses, public debt, it was private debt. So in all countries, even Greece, although in a less, not as much as all the other countries, what really changed since 1995, 1993, until 2008, was an explosion of private debt. As in all countries, in all developed countries, there was an explosion of private debt. Well, that's a phenomenon that you also have in Australia. You have a huge, there was a huge growth in private indebtedness, and that happened in Portugal. So when people say, well, we have a crisis of public finances, that is just not true. Because the public finances, the problem in public finances was a consequence of this, not a cause. In 2008, compared with 2000, for example, public debt was more or less in line. It was around 60% of GDP, 65, 67. There was not a massive change in public indebtedness since the creation of the euro. What there was a huge increase in private indebtedness, so families and companies. It exploded. It went from 30% of GDP or 50% of GDP to 250% of GDP. So the main change was a growth, an explosion in private indebtedness, here in Spain, everywhere. And then, well, we had the financial crisis, and then, only then, did public debt explode. So public debt in 2009 was in line with the European average. And then, yes, it exploded, and now it's around 120% of GDP. I think this point is important because the memorandum of understanding, it was all, of course, signed and negotiated by the Socialist Party and other parties, but the memorandum of understanding, I think this has to be clear, was the official response to a certain understanding of the crisis. So while the right parties agree with that with that narrative, and so agree that the memorandum addresses the main problems of Portugal and it is the right response to a certain understanding of the crisis, the socialists said, well, this is a response with which we don't agree. But we cannot ignore that this is the official response, so we have to deal with what we have. So they consider this a correct response. We consider this a flawed response, but a necessary one, because we cannot by ourselves sovereignly define what we can do. So for us, it was a cost, a necessity. For them, it was an opportunity that really addresses the main problems of Portugal. So I think the attitude towards the memorandum of understanding was radically different between the two blocks, if you want. There was a more or less complete identification in views with the right-wing parties, with differences between PP and PSD. I think PSD was more enthusiastic of this opportunity that was given to Portugal to rehabilitate itself. And, well, the socialists pragmatically recognized there was no alternative. And our objective was, well, we will be in the front line to assess the results of this. I think the party now in government, it has more difficulty in evaluating objectively the effects of the program, because they consider themselves this program, they identify themselves with this program. So to evaluate negatively the effects of its implementation was at the same time a form of self-criticism. So it's easier for the socialists to point to, I don't know, the unemployment is way above expectations. Miguel Frasquillo was not completely correct when he said the circumstances changed. Well, they changed, yes, but due to the implementation of the program, because the main difference in the macroeconomic data since the moment that this program was signed and today is not current circumstances. What really changed was internal demand. So it was the private investment that collapsed much more than was predicted, public investment the same. So it was private demand that is way worse than was expected. Exports are actually in line or slightly above what was expected. So the main change was internal demand, and in our opinion, that is a direct cause of the implementation of this program. This program impacts directly internal demand, and it's internal demand that is behaving poorly compared to what was initially predicted. So it's a direct consequence of the implementation of the Portuguese program, mainly one thing, an obsession with the public finances targets. So instead of seeing basically the targets are moving targets, and Portugal is like a dog chasing its tail. Because, well, we identify gaps in revenues, we identify gaps in the deficit because of recession, and then our response is more austerity that, of course, worsens the recession and creates the condition that demands further measures. So it's a cat chasing its tail, basically. The socialists, most of the data that Miguel Frasquillo and the facts that Miguel Frasquillo presented, I think, are true, not all. I think the question of the no, the question the one that I already mentioned. Miguel said that the circumstances changed, and I think that's the only difference I have with him. He said that the circumstances changed, and I think that they changed due to the implementation of the program, and not despite of the program. And I think I am right, because what really changed was internal demand. There are no changes in exports. They're actually above the so. The Socialist Party now demands a renegotiation of the memorandum in light of the experience of its application. The right demands a flexibilization, because reality is too strong and too evident to be denied. But I think the main issue now is that, well,
can I
yes, of course. Well, an agreement is an agreement.
That's right. Is there a capacity to renegotiate it? Because I don't understand that. Is there a capacity, or is that a demand that whilst you make cannot be fulfilled?
Well, that is something that has to be tested by government. It depends on the willingness and the capacity of a government, much more than the opposition, for obvious reasons, to assess what is the availability of the Troika to, evaluate, assess, and correct what has to be corrected. But, well, that's who leads the negotiations. It's the Portuguese government, not the opposition. But the position of the socialists is the program has failed. And in 1.5 years, why do we think it has failed? Well, first, the measures taken on the budgetary side are well beyond what was initially predicted in terms of volume. The budget of 2012, for example, the initial MOU predicted 5 billion euros of austerity measures, tax and expenses together, and the budget doubled that austerity. So the first year of the program, instead of having 5 billion euros of austerity, we had 10. And although they doubled the austerity, in terms of budget consolidation, the real reduction the deficit in the beginning of 2012 was 7.5% of GDP, and at the end of 2012, without extraordinary measures, so the real deficit, if you exclude all the non-recurrent measures, is above 6%. It's 5% with taxes and certain expenses that are one-off. So the real deficit is actually larger than 6. And our assessment of this is we've reached the limit of budget consolidation in the current circumstances. It is impossible to continue with the current trajectory. Why? Because the costs to a small reduction in the deficit are so large that they are unsustainable. Like we implemented more than 5% of GDP in austerity measures, and the result is more or less 1% of GDP of budget reduction, of real budget reduction. And with the costs that Miguel mentioned, 17% of unemployment instead of 12.8, I think it was the initial limit, I can't remember properly. What does the socialist defend? First, flexibilization of the public finances goals. So it is impossible, in our view, to continue with this rhythm. It just basically destroys the economy, because it's not only unemployment. It's investment, for example. Public and private investment are the fall in public and private investment is more than doubled the initial projections. So that is unemployment plus investment, I think, are two key indicators of how this recipe is not working. So we defend a more flexible and sustainable trajectory of budget consolidation, and also a change in the nature of the adjustment. Because and that was also included in the original MOU, but it was deepened by the current majority, which is a certain view of competitiveness. So the idea that competitiveness is basically labor market flexibilization. It's basically market flexibilization and market deregulation and lowering salary or employment costs. That's the view of competitiveness that was already present in the original memorandum, but it was significantly deepened by the current government. What is the problem is that, in our opinion, that's a wrong view of competitiveness. Portugal has been increasing its exports not since the beginning of the memorandum. It has grown robustly since 2006. Then it stopped, of course, in 2009 for obvious reasons. Our exports fell 18% or 17%, and imports also. We had the great financial crisis. But there has been a robust trend since 2006, and of course that is a signal that Portugal is increasing its competitiveness. And the view of the Portuguese socialists is that, well, Portugal was gaining market share and exporting and had robust growth in exports without any of the structural reforms that now the right considers to be absolutely crucial for competitiveness. So we increased our exports above internal demand, above the average of Europe 15, the 15 original, so the European countries excluding the Eastern and European, the first. We were growing more than then in terms of exports, without cutting salaries, without dismantling the welfare state, and without completely deregulating the labor market. We were doing that. So in our opinion, what we have to do is to deepen and, of course, correct some of the measures taken to make Portugal a more competitive country. So for us, competitiveness is to have a broadened line of products that are produced in Portugal, is to broaden the markets to which we export those products. It is to qualify our labor force. Portugal, as you should know, I think, is one of the most backward countries in terms of labor qualifications in the entire European Union, even more than some countries which are poorer than Portugal. So our structural deficiencies are qualification and backwardness in companies, for example. We need to improve and modernize the Portuguese industrial base, basically, which is a completely different view of a certain right-wing understanding of what competitiveness means. Well, the government keeps saying that structural reforms will have effect, although unemployment is at 17%, although investment is dropping drastically for 3 years in a row at least. It's a bit like what Stephen Colbert in the US says, well, it's let's build a better tomorrow. And this it's an always receding tomorrow that no matter how the present looks grim and without any exit whatsoever, the response is it will work. It's more or less a religious statement. It is not a reality-based judgment, but it's what we have. The socialists disagree with this, and they look at the program and said, look, this was the right-wing response to this crisis. It is a wrong response because it's based on a completely wrong diagnosis of the crisis. And this is more my personal view. I think the crisis we have in Europe is not a competitiveness crisis. It's not a public finance crisis. It's only, exclusively, a monetary crisis. It is completely caused in the beginning, and now its responses by a deficient financial and monetary architecture of the European Union that promoted private capital flows intermediated by banks, which supported aggregate demand in Europe and that aggregate demand, yes, was unsustainable because it was based on private indebtedness. And what happened in 2008 and 2009 in the crisis was these capital flows stopped. And you have a collapse of the periphery. What substituted those private capital flows were official capital flows, either from the ECB or from the Troika. But the flows are still there. They are not private anymore. They are public. And they are not solving the problem, because the problem is monetary in its roots, and it will only be solved when we address that problem. And to address that problem, we need a completely different response from the European Union than the one we've been having. The problem is, if you don't correct your diagnosis of the crisis, you're based all your responses on a flawed understanding of what this crisis is all about. It doesn't make sense to say that this is a finance problem, public finance problem, when you had Spain and Ireland, which were, according to European standards, the most responsible, and they were the banners of fiscal responsibility before the crisis, and now suddenly they revised history and they were made into terrible in terms of public finances. So our view is that as long as you don't change your understanding of all this, what this is all about, you will insist on flawed policies that will not work. For example, regarding unemployment, our government rejects that we have a problem of demand. They think that you can cure a massive unemployment crisis with structural reforms. And all the policies in Portugal and Europe now depress demand. And apparently our government is not concerned with this because they support the austerity in Portugal and the austerity in Europe. They were big enthusiasts of the stability treaty, which demands austerity for 20 years for most of the European countries. And of course, with these policies in place, you will not correct the problem of unemployment, and it will keep on growing. You can create as many active labor market policies, you can give training, you can cut social welfare in view of providing incentives for people to get back to work, but there simply are not enough jobs available independently of how many incentives you create. For example, in Portugal, this weekend the Prime Minister said more or less that one of the problems of Portuguese unemployment is lack of labor mobility. If you had labor mobility, then you would have less unemployment. Well, we have 740,000 people that are now on the files of the unemployment centers, and there are 10,000 job vacancies. So 740,000 people, and there are 10,000 job vacancies. Of course, these 10,000 job vacancies are not all the job vacancies available in Portugal, but this just gives more or less a clear picture that the problem is not of unbalance between demand and supply of labor. It's basically a lack of employment. And to create employment, you need demand from somewhere. And I don't see, with the current policies now in place in Portugal and Europe, where that demand will come from.
Thank you, Mr. President. On behalf of CDSPP, People's Party in English, we would like to thank you, Mr. Speaker, for your visit, for your interest in our matters about the Portuguese situation, the European situation, and especially the situation of the Portuguese bailout. But I would say, if you have the means for translation, we are very proud of our language. I will ask to speak in Portuguese, if you don't mind. And I will proceed in Portuguese. I will assure you that I will be shorter than my colleagues that that spoke before, so it will not be so long as it could. It will not be so long as it could appear now. Em português, a visão do CDS-PP é de que, embora haja naturais e evidentes diferenças de opinião sobre a forma política de lidar com um programa de ajustamento, mantêm-se aqueles que foram as razões para Portugal precisar de ajuda externa e também se mantém o consenso essencial sobre a forma como Portugal deve vencer esse processo de ajustamento.
So CDSPP's view on the current situation is that although there are natural and different opinions on the way to deal with the or to handle the adjustment program, the reasons for handling some of desculpe, perdi-me aqui um bocadinho.
As razões para necessitarmos de um programa de ajuda externa mantêm-se
válidas. An aid program remain, and they are valid.
Portugal necessitou de um programa de ajuda externa porque perdeu a capacidade de, junto dos mercados, adquirir dívida e, portanto, essa é uma realidade indesmentível e conseguirá voltar a recuperar parte da sua autonomia quando puder voltar a recorrer aos mercados de dívida externa, e isso é muito mais importante do que qualquer discussão político-partidária interna sobre a razão de ser da crise e o que nos levou a esta situação.
So, Portugal needed a foreign aid, an external aid program, because it lost its capacity to acquire debt. And this is the reality. And Portugal will only gain autonomy again when it can return to the markets. And that cannot be denied. And that's the real issue that we have to face.
Recentemente, Portugal conseguiu voltar aos mercados e a colocar dívida a 5 anos, o que é um passo importante nesse caminho de regresso da sua autonomia, e tem, neste caso, em seis vezes, tido aprovação relativamente ao seu programa de ajustamento por parte dos seus principais credores. Portanto, quer em relação ao objetivo principal, quer em relação ao progresso do programa de ajustamento, os indicadores são indicadores positivos.
So recently Portugal was able to return to the markets and to place its debt 5 years to a 5-year term, and this is an important step towards regaining autonomy. This fact, or Portugal's attitude, has gained the approval of the adjustment program on behalf of our creditors, and these are indicators that we are on the right path.
Dito isto, o que é essencial para o CDS é que esta parte da realidade prova que valeu a pena e que vale a pena Portugal ter optado por um caminho de cumprimento dos compromissos que assumiu, e isso é matéria que nunca desuniu os três maiores partidos portugueses que aqui estão representados.
So it is essential for CDS, this path is essential for CDS, and it is the proof that it was worthwhile for Portugal to have opted for fulfilling its obligations, and this is a matter that unites the three parties more than it divides them.
No entanto, o CDS-PP entende que um programa de ajustamento e uma relação com os credores não pode, de forma alguma, ser indiferente às consequências da aplicação dessas medidas constantes do programa de ajustamento, muito menos à evolução da realidade internacional. Por isso, temos defendido várias vezes que os nossos credores internacionais, eles próprios, têm feito uma revisão da sua posição em relação a estes programas de ajustamento e que, portanto, em cada uma das revisões do programa português, mas também na relação entre Portugal, o FMI, o BCE e a Comissão Europeia, deve haver a capacidade para ajustar o programa àquilo que é a sua evolução, considerando principalmente dois fatores. Vou terminar já. I will finish this part. Os dois fatores, o desemprego e a evolução do PIB.
Volto só à capacidade, que senão sou eu que não a tenho. A capacidade de...
Peço desculpa.
Sim.
A capacidade para ajustar o programa.
Sim.
À evolução.
Uhum.
Principalmente dois indicadores, isso resume.
Uhum.
O crescimento e o desemprego.
Uhum.
A evolução do produto é mais fácil, GDP and unemployment.
However, CDS believes that the adjustment program and the relationship with creditors cannot be indifferent to the measures, and therefore we have defended that there should be a revision of the adjustment program, as well as the creditors have also undertaken that on several occasions. And that is the reason why Portugal, the European Central Bank, and the European Commission should have the capacity to adjust and to evaluate two main indicators, that is growth and unemployment.
Do nosso ponto de vista, se o cenário macroeconómico não é aquele que era projetado quando o programa foi definido, e se os efeitos da aplicação das medidas do programa também não são os mesmos que estavam definidos no programa, isso justifica uma atualização e uma capacidade de visão que todos têm que demonstrar, com uma preocupação, e assim terminava, com uma preocupação essencial em evitar que o desemprego continue num ritmo de aumento tão significativo como o atual e que haja uma perspectiva de crescimento sustentada e que se evite uma espiral recessiva.
So the macroeconomic scenario is not the one that was projected when the financial program was defined. And if its consequences are not those planned, that means that there is need for an adjustment in order to avoid the continuing growth of unemployment. And so that there are some prospects for substantial growth and a sustained growth, and therefore this spiral could be avoided. We can get out of this loop.
So, if you, yes. Thank you. We have these three.